Dziękuję. And first of all, I would like to thank to Batory Foundation and the Renaissance Foundation for these consistent efforts to promote the idea of freedom of movement in Europe and giving chance to present our views on the issue. And for me personally, it's very pleasant to speak after Polish experts, as I have to express some reflections of the data or the information I have heard, and to continue to develop some ideas, which were also already mentioned, and give also some ideas or some additional arguments from the position of the country outside of Schengen zone. What is important is that for sure we have at least understanding that we are moving to freedom of movement, and Ukraine is part of the process. However, we need to find relevant arguments, relevant algorithms, and to convince decision makers in the EU, especially in the old member states, to proceed with more or less clear approach to the freedom of movement for the Eastern European countries. And I would like to start with the reference to the fact that when we speak about all this visa migration agenda, we usually mean three separate topics. First of all, it is rules of entry to the EU. Second is the rule of residence in the EU. And the third is the rules of work in the EU. All these three components are very different. They belong to the different components of the EU legislation. And therefore, we are unlikely to set all the problems with one approach. For sure, when we speak about the entry rule, we mostly consider the issue of short stay and the so-called Schengen, acquis, Schengen visas, which allow persons to stay up to 90 days within half of year without permission of job, without permission of long-term residence, without permission of study, I would say. So that's one kind of regulation. Another one is the issue of residence. For those people who have an intention on some family or personal reasons to reside in the EU without immediate desire to work, for them, there is another sort of regulation. And then finally, for those who want to work, to want to have some have some salary, permanent contracts in the EU, there is another kind of regulations. So therefore, we have be quite clear in and separating this issue one from another. For example, there are a lot of ideas how can we solve the issue by providing more national visas for the applicants. But we should remember that the national visa is an instrument available only for those who want to reside or work or study, but not for those who want just to come to visit the conference or to those who want to be a tourist. For them, only solution available is Schengen visa. So we should understand it clearly. Otherwise, Brussels will not understand us. So what is important with regards... So finally, we come to conclusion that all we are in favor of abolition of visa regimes. But what is important is to have more or less clear criteria and to have more or less clear arguments to make this process as fast as possible. And here, frankly speaking, I have some doubts, or even I'm sure that Ukraine or Moldova or Georgia or other countries will get visa-free regime on standard conditions. I don't think that we will have some specific, some exclusions, some specific procedures different from that applied for Serbia, for example, or Montenegro. And if the Union decided to apply biometric standards as a general standard, it's unlikely that they will ask Serbians to do that and not Ukrainians. So we should be prepared that the set of criteria will be the same. However, what we have now is not the lack of, or not the too much strong criteria. What we have now is a reluctance, more or less, to proceed with a condition-based approach. So we have rather dialogue about all the things. We have regular meetings of persons, experts on different subjects of visa-related issues. But the progress is quite uncertain. And we have even lack of clear evaluation of the situation in Ukraine. We as an expert can for sure give our explanation and assessment. However, we do not have from the EU side even official evaluation how far Ukraine now is from non-visa standards. And that's a problem, because Serbia and others in the Western Balkans, they got it from the very beginning. Experts worked in the field, and they provided for comprehensive study and comprehensive assessment of the correspondence of those countries to the Schengen criteria, and therefore local people were aware about this, and they were, I would say, guidelined to the final goal, which was set as visa-free regime. So that's important to have this clear assessment and the guideline. And now we have we have to look at the picture which we also had today in the first session, and now to assess connection between visa regime, abolition of visa regime, and security in the countries, migration security, social security, criminal security, etc. For example, to me and to the most of colleagues dealing with migration, it is not an obvious connection between the visa regime as such and the social security of the societies. There is no real and relevant proof that visa regime as an instrument of migration control is an effective control against illegal migration and criminality. Because in the most cases, criminality is able to open the door. But the ordinary citizens usually have problems to enter, not criminals. I can also just offer several arguments when I, in my opinion, the existence of visa regime is a factor of growing criminality. First of all, it is related to the smuggling, human smuggling, as a worst, probably the worst phenomena related to migration. That's probably the most brutal criminal business in the world. However, there's clear connection between severe visa regimes, visa regulations, and human smuggling. In the all research connected to the proportion of people smuggled within the whole range of migrating people, there is an obvious proof that in the cases when the visa barrier is very strong and severe, the proportion of people smuggled is several times higher than with regard to the country with visa-free regime. For example, if you count Romanians working in Spain, it's a big group, and Romanians smuggled, you will see that the proportion of smuggled is very small. But with regards to Ukrainians or others who deal with visa regime, the proportion is substantially higher, according to different evaluations. And the second argument I would like to provide is that it was already mentioned, maybe in different words. I would say that the strong visa regulation provide for consistent motivation for people to stay illegally for a long time. Because person who want to work, but want to work legally, but he or she cannot be sure that after return home, then in some time this person can go back for the work. And this is an argument, this is a motivation to overstay his or her visa, to stay, to reside illegally for a long time, for years. And that's, by the way, the case of Ukrainian migration in the southern Europe, such as Italy, Spain, and other countries. It happened in the past, and it still happens. So in this case, there's also an argument. Will you, if the person is not afraid of being deported, there is no such a motive to overuse or misuse visa, to overstay, and to get and to stay there without permission. So all these issues, the problem we have is that any description or even calculation, even scientific calculation of illegal migration are not good enough to be sufficient. In the most cases I have seen personally, there is no revealed methodology. And some, we have so different figures of illegal migration in different countries, detected by absolutely different instruments. So, unfortunately, we do not have a clear connection, or clear arguments to say that, to describe connection between visa regime, non-visa regime on one hand, and migration security on the other hand. So we cannot say for sure that this is a problem or this is a way out of problem. However, what we can have is to express our arguments. And that's what I'm trying to do. So I will be ready to answer your questions on this matter. Thank you.